the blessings of love and respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by a compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 grave prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct jnana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. O happy blessed day, O happy blessed place, O happy blessed time, O happy blessed path, O happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma. And I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutyambi tatyambi saha. Again and yet again may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face a new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. times of suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering.
What should we look at this morning?
Well, on the Project Joy radio show, Friday, I think it was Friday, there was information that was revolutionary for me. And that was a split-second presence. And also, just making time for presence. And with the split second presence, I realized that I'd been running around with, we talked a lot about the Zen warrior sword, you know, like if you lose attention for a moment, you're going to be...
Your head's going to get chopped off.
You're going to get run...
It's that extra oomph motivation.
Exactly. You're going to get run through. And I had taken that and made it into, if you can't stay present 100% without fail, you're dead, which in a way is true, but,
you know. But almost like, if I'm following you, almost like then you get punished.
Yeah.
Like it's kind of a...
Like you're not doing it.
You're not doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's really... and just to see the... Oh, my gosh, you know. Ego can't argue with split-second presence. You know?
Yeah.
All that dropped away,
yeah,
and there was now instead of in that place of like, oh my gosh, am I ever going to get to the place where, you know, I'm not going to get run through,
right? Because the funny part about that is that in that split second presence, you don't have time to go, oh my gosh, am I going to have a... Because like 7 split seconds have gone by.
Right. Exactly.
So there's no room for it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I also saw in a way ahead before, I mean, just how the conditioned mind is always in there interpreting what presence is. You know, and then there's, I don't know what it is either, but you know, there's that moment, and then it's right there to tell me, okay, so now presence is, you know, saying, oh, there's a tree, there's a, you know.
Right.
And just noticing, just noticing a shift with interaction with life. That I don't know whether it indicates more presence or not, but there's just like just more caring in that place of you know,
of just that split second presence. And as you say, do we know, oh yeah, I'm more present, I'm not, not really, and who cares?
Yeah.
Right? Because only that outside the split second presence would be looking at that.
Yeah.
And I do think that's the brilliance of what you're saying, is that we'd have to leave that split second presence in order to have that conversation.
Yeah.
Right? It's kind of like people talk about in meditation where, you know, I'm counting, but in between one and two, there's a chasm of, like, I could grocery shop, and I could plan, and I could worry, and I could rehash, and two.
Right.
And then I could grocery shop, and plan, and three, right?
Yeah.
But split second, there, I can't go do that.
I can't go do that.
There isn't the space for it.
And the other thing that arose with it is that, you know, Rawson talked about focusing on the gaps.
Yeah.
And that feels like a gap in a way that it's you can't describe, but you know, it's like just you know, it's that I don't know. It's just that boom 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 boom, you know. And so it's just been a really it's been revolutionary for me. And when the guy was speaking about, you know, getting up in the morning and making time for presence, that was I mean, you know?
Right.
It's like, oh yeah, you know, we're not you're not getting up to just like get ready to do.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It's getting up for, you know,
For presence.
That's next life.
Creating that structure so that there actually is the space to live the life in the way that I want to. So that there is that place, I think, in the particular context she was talking about, talking with someone who was talking about eating their breakfast and having just insight after insight and making like 15 recordings before leaving for work. And that point of, and making the space so that if there are 15 recordings I want to make, I can. I'm not racing off to, you know, getting up just in time to throw some clothes on and, you know, throw some food in the mouth and head to the car and head to the feet in your case.
And there's just another thing about that too. It's like, well, it's always felt so much better to really get up into spaciousness than into, oh my gosh, gotta be here in 45 minutes. And I'm looking at creating that spaciousness and the opportunity for presence versus having more time to be distracted. You know what I mean? It's like,
I do. That intentionality is so important, isn't it? To really, you know, through, I think, recording and listening, at least for me, is a big tool for that. To have that intuition that, gosh, yes, I really do want the space for presence. And then to kind of work with a mentor or whatever forum works best for you to look at, okay, what does that look like? Because without some intentionality behind that, then it does just turn into, okay, so I have an extra hour, so what?
Right, I can go sit here on the chair and...
Yeah, well, and sitting here on the chair and do nothing would be lovely.
Lovely.
But instead, it's sit here on the chair and let's see, I got this, and last week, the and the...
Yeah, it's just it's an interesting place to explore because, you know, just looking, is this distraction or is this,
Well, and getting some big clues in, wow, there's just a lot of care happening.
Yeah.
That there feels like a shift in your relationship with life as you're going about. Yeah. That's a big clue.
Yeah. And it's just so fun. Like, yesterday I you know, had an opportunity to care for a lot of things, which is just... I can't say is always a fun day, you know, but it's all the attitude of mind, you know, it's just all the attitude of mind. And yesterday is a gift from life. It was that place of not getting things done, but just, I mean, dare I say presence, but you know, it's just like,
it felt like that.
I don't know what it was, but it's like, oh, this is just so great to get to do this thing right now.
Yes.
And it doesn't matter if it, what's next, but it, just to do this, it feels so good.
Yes.
To just, you know.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the day, I realized, oh my God, that I'd done things to take care of my body that day that never happened.
Wow.
They never happen. Wow. I mean, I can say some years have gone by, you know, certain things. It's like, no, we just got to keep going, you know.
So in the course of the day, you were doing things to take care of the body that used to never
happen. It never happened. And then I didn't catch it till the end of the day. And it's like, oh my God. First of all, practicing split presence all day long. And then that giving rise, and you know, who knows, but you know, noticing there was also an increased just joy in caring for things, and then noticing, oh my God, it had even expanded to this form.
Yes.
You know, and so
expanded was the word that's coming for me too, an expanded awareness.
Yeah.
That is all part of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So not sort of, okay, I'm caring for these things, and then get so sort of one point focus on that that the body gets excluded.
Yeah.
But rather, and it's funny because it doesn't even sound like there was a, I'm going to care for these things, right?
Yeah.
It's just that in that presence, that is how it happens.
Yeah.
That is the how of presence.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, that's so true. I mean, I didn't have a big campaign to, you know.
We're really going to care about
my list of things to do that day you know, to do this and do that. And, but it just all was, just came out of, it's really fun.
Yeah, lovely gift.
Yeah.
And it's so fun that, I love that people talk about it on the Project Joy Show all the time, where we hear something that we've heard, you know, we hear a principle of practice that we've heard, we hear a, and then it just, zoop, just goes right in.
And, oh, it's just so fun. It's just one of those, you know, it's like, you know, when you, you know, you get religious, but, you know, hearing that on the Project Joy radio show and then picking up Marie Corder and picking a random thing, and then next thing is Sherry talking about split presence, you know, from us
years ago.
And it's like, wow, you know, okay, got it.
The great DJ of life, right?
Exactly.
He knows just what to pick.
Yeah.
Thank you. Penny.
Picking up on several of those things that we just mentioned, the thing about the something you've heard a million times and it finally goes in. On Thursday night, Sherry said, "So how is it we think that? How is it we come to believe that what goes on in here is real, and everything out there is kind of a mistake?" And I love that. I mean, it really did take it home. I mean, in some version or other, we hear that all the time.
All the time.
And I was driving around Sonora Friday evening, and the sun was setting. I was on this really curvy road, and so every time, you know, I'd come around a curve, there would be the sun, and I'd flip the visor over, and then I'd go this way and flip the visor over. And one way I came around a curve, and I said, "Oh, that darn sun." And I thought, "That darn sun?" and it was like, the sun is moving around, you know,
and
just to irritate me. And of course, I was moving around. I mean, it was just simply, and I caught it. I just thought, so what's in here is that the sun should be stable. So it does not bother me. You know, so that I can turn corners without having to flip my visor. So that was just really fun.
That's so good.
And what I was, one thing I was hearing in the split second presence is that in the next split second, there isn't time to evaluate whether I was there last time, which is part of why it feels so much better.
Yes, exactly.
There's not that just little assessment, which means somebody's there judging all the time.
Right. Here, assess here. Here, assess here. Here, assess here. Here, assess.
And then the last thing that I was resonating with was, so a year ago or so, we got these little kittens, and we made a pledge that they would be indoor kittens. And so I couldn't stand it, and so I built these structures outside for them all over my deck. And the unintended consequence of that is that I suddenly realized that normally about every several years we have our house sprayed with stain.
Okay.
And I thought, well, I don't want it sprayed because the spray, well, I mean, you know, even if you try to cover it, will be in the air and all that kind of stuff. So I realized there are parts of the house I'm going to have to do by hand. Mm-hmm. So I've been staining one of the walls of the house. It's a pretty large area. Mm-hmm. And I was staining it yesterday, and I was so enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
And what came up for me was, I believe that even things we think of as inanimate know when they're cared for.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what it felt like. Mm-hmm. It felt like I was working with the wall.
Mm-hmm.
And the wall was in bad shape. I don't know what's been hitting it, but it even had chips out of it and stuff, and so I was staining it. And there was just a sense of partnership about that.
Mm-hmm.
And plus, the great thing about staining and painting is when you step back, you can see it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there are tasks you can do and you just don't get it.
Right.
But staining it, you can look at it and say, oh, that looks a whole lot better.
Yeah.
And that was very satisfying. But the process itself, and it didn't feel like, oh, God, I've got this big wall.
Right.
It was just
this
brushstroke and this brushstroke.
Exactly.
And the other thing about it was, so I was partly on a ladder, I was partly on the ground with a can of splashy stains, so every movement I made had to be really careful, really mindful, and that felt great too.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't do anything sloppily because otherwise it could be a disaster. And so it was the most pleasurable thing.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. So it was an unintended consequence that turned out to be a great gift.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's one of those. What we do is what we get.
Yeah.
And so in that requirement, on a number of levels, to have that level of care, it's received as a gift.
Yeah.
Where it could be the same, like the sun is in my, you know, why is the sun moving around? I go, oh man, I gotta stain this wall.
Yeah.
But then realizing it's a great gift and it does come from care, right? Starting with, gosh, here are these cats, I don't want the spray all over the thing.
Right.
So I'm willing to take this extra care, and then in that, I receive the care.
Yeah. And then just one final piece of that was, so I'm working with a brush. I have a tendency to tendonitis in my wrist and thumb, and so I was also aware of just changing the position, you know, so that, because I could feel it start to get sore in one position, I'd just change it to another. And had I not been paying attention to that, it could have exacerbated it. It didn't.
Yeah.
So it was, so I don't know, everything that was just said, I was just sitting there saying, yeah, I can resonate with that.
Yeah, because it is that same process, isn't it?
Yeah.
That care, of course, when that care is coming from presence and not from an idea, of course it's going to include the human. I mean, why wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Right? The only way it wouldn't, it's so funny, ironically, is if I'm taking myself personally.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then somehow it's back to, you know, this isn't my human, this is God's human, right? Mm-hmm. Somehow if I'm taking it personally, then I can choose, well, it's okay for the wrist to hurt. She can just power through it, you know? But from a place of just care, just presence, that's not my decision to make. Life would never make that decision.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Life would have that larger awareness where it's all taken into.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you for that. Because I was so focused on what I was feeling, like the wood and the wall were appreciating. There was a certain separation built into that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
Thank you. But there is no separation. That's the whole point.
Right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So I've been looking at a process that I want to drill down a little further, and it's how it's the moment that conditioned mind gets referenced instead of asking, you know, for what's real, and that thing that Pinu just pointed to about, okay, what's going on in this mind as opposed to what's actually here in this physical world, and the movement to choosing the mind over what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And because what I've been seeing is a karmic process where I don't, so there's a question point, a sort of intersection, a choice, you know, something that's a little off, and I get stopped from asking, and so it's like an immediate reference conditioned mind.
Mm.
Don't ask what's actually here in the real world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And an example that I've been using as sort of a way to drill down into it was when Friday, no, it was maybe a week ago Friday, whenever our shopping is way off, but when I was in the store, and we normally buy crushed tomatoes, but the only ones they had basil in them, and we buy the plain. Mm-hmm. But I knew the recipe, and so I surveyed the situation. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the mind went right to the recipe that these were called for, and I could just see in my mind's eye, dice the tomatoes, then puree them, and then da 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 da, and I mean cook the diced tomatoes and puree, mm-hmm. and I saw pureed tomatoes. Mm-hmm. So, the beauty of the monastic structure is that we're trained to not make anything up, mm-hmm. and I watched my attention go to that recipe, okay, to logic, I guess it would be called. Mm-hmm. Logically, pureed tomato, okay, basil doesn't work, pureed will work. Mm-hmm. But the training would have been to ask, mm-hmm. to text or get guidance. Mm-hmm. But I went to the mind that was reading the recipe that could see how this would work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which, as you say, I mean, maybe just fine, logical, all of that, but not what you're trained to do.
Well, exactly, because when I did get guidance later and told the whole situation, mm-hmm. the guy said, sure, keep the pureed tomatoes. So it wasn't about that,
right.
And that's important to say,
yeah.
because when we're practicing and training, it's mm-hmm. never about the content.
Right.
So, yeah, it was fine. And the,
right, because if
and
it were about the content,
delicious.
If it were about the content, that would make complete sense,
yes,
to do what you were
exactly.
doing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That is the way to do it.
Right.
You know, we were all, I project, all taught to do it. Just figure it out.
Right.
And it figured perfectly.
Yeah.
but that's not what ends suffering.
Yes.
And so, yeah, that's it. That's not what ends suffering.
That's not what ends suffering.
Yeah.
That process of referring to the kind of the logical and, you know, okay, yeah, I know what it's going to be used for, and
uh-huh.
that's not a process of ending suffering.
Right.
So even though it's
just a process
works,
of making good lasagna with ingredients that work, which, you know, is a part of it too,
mm-hmm.
but it's not primarily what we're doing with our lives, what I'm doing with
and life. What I hear you saying in that is that it's not what I want to train myself to do.
I'm no longer satisfied with living in that paradigm,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, it just doesn't end suffering.
Right.
But here's the thing is that just a habit that eventually, as I bring more awareness to it, will fall away?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or is there a mechanism that can be recognized and identified and a behavior change that maybe can be implemented or somehow, some way to accelerate the process of that habit
mm-hmm.
just dropping away? Because, I mean, I believe it will. It's done so in many other content areas
mm-hmm.
in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, this is one that's up now, and it's a big one, and it's a pretty fundamental one
mm-hmm.
for ending suffering.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So kind of looking at, you know, I know it will fade away in whatever way it has, in whatever way it does, because so many other have. And so looking at, is it just going to wear itself out over time? Or is there some mechanism, some behavior change to kind of speed that process up?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I asked a very similar thing to the guide recently. And she said, here's one. One, two, three. How do I know that? So I'm looking at the tomatoes. Well, pureed might work. If I could have gone to one, two, three, how do I know that?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would have short-circuited it.
Mm-hmm. That would have created that gap.
We don't buy puree, we buy crush.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that
mm-hmm.
you know, somehow mm-hmm. to get me into the actual
mm-hmm.
physical,
mm-hmm.
out of the logical
mm-hmm.
mind
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But then
yeah.
how do you go one, two, three? How do you remember the one,
exactly.
two, three? How do
yeah.
I know that?
Yeah.
Without just kind of skimming right over it.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like having a big sign on your wall, don't make assumptions. Well, how do you know there are assumptions?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, from the way you describe it, I mean, I think one of the things any number of folks who have especially trained monastically, but in practice in general, I think over the years have caught on to, is that any conversation is the flag. Oh, well, you know what? Oh, there we go. There's the flag.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
'Cause there's just that sort of, just the beginnings of that negotiation. What's happening there?
Yeah. When you say that, what I hear is, but yeah, but how do I know that sounds like a conversation too? You know? So that, yeah. And what was just dropping in was something else from Project Joy last week, which was one has to let the play happen to one.
Mm-hmm. All of it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And we just, you know, so if it just takes a really long time for that habit to be worn out or whatever, enjoy the ride, whatever.
Exactly.
Just let the play happen to
love one. The human like crazy as
yeah.
that happens.
Yeah, even the periods of when I'm not loving the human like, you know, it's like even mm-hmm. it all is the play.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering whether to bring in, there's another thing that illustrates this for me, but I'm not sure it'll make the translation, but I'll give it a shot, which is this story from the Christian scripture about the man born blind. Was it his fault that he was born blind, or was his parents' sin that he was born blind? And Jesus says neither. It was just so that the glory of God can be made manifest in this, or something like that. And to me, that's the... That's the whole deal of it. We're of the play happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if it takes a 10,000 times mm-hmm. of going to logic over the desire to end suffering
mm-hmm.
is the
mm-hmm.
How would I finish that sentence? Space in which the glory of God will be made manifest.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So the desire to end suffering is the space.
Or the fuel. Or, something.
Or the fuel.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. That the glory of God is made manifest. And that it's sort of that place of, and who are we to pick and choose how that happens and
exactly.
what each of us works with in that process.
Exactly. Or the timing of it
or timing,
anything.
Or the,
yeah.
Because
when we just allow... must allow the play to, how did I just say it? One must allow the play to happen to one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so when we're not a me that is doing that,
yeah.
who are we to call the play?
Yeah.
We're not the one calling
yeah.
the play.
So it's that original inquiry that you were talking about is, will it just wear itself away? Or is
mm-hmm.
there, it's that razor's edge that we all look at in practice. You know, it's that right on the edge of my zafu, just ready for any, just the sincerity, the determination, all of that. Knowing, it's sort of that place of, you know, giving it everything I've got, knowing that the very effort is keeping me from it.
Yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
always that place of inquiry.
Yeah.
Just ready for whatever, but thy will be done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank
you. Susan. I was thinking of, so... Here's what I'm looking at. So you know that Zen story where the Zen master, like his favorite student dies, and you know at the funeral he goes and like throws himself
mm-hmm.
on the whales and whales. So I've been thinking about that because what my system wants to do is do all the practices.
Mm-hmm.
And so pseudo-Zen sort of takes it and says, everything, you know, all is well.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've got all these things to practice. I'll just move my attention there.
Mm-hmm.
And so right now there's a piece of content that actually isn't fine.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's been interesting to watch because... I'm not really emotional as a person.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's not, I don't cry easily.
Not one of the go-to places.
Mm-hmm. And so this piece of content has come in and the system sort of does what it does, which is I watch, you know, it kind of freezes because
mm-hmm.
I'm a six, deer in the headlights,
mm-hmm.
freeze,
mm-hmm.
and then starts to scramble
mm-hmm.
and make the story.
Uh-huh.
And what it really wants to do, what I just watched this morning, it really wants to be able to tell you how it practiced, and now I'm fine. It doesn't want me to say out loud, which I will say because it's hard to say, that Andrew has cancer. And that there is a way in which the system starts to make a story out of that.
Sure.
Well, it's this certain kind of cancer, and it's probably treatable. Oops, maybe not, because we got this information. Oh, well, it's probably going to be fine because of this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if I just practice enough, I'll just be fine with all this,
yeah.
because, you know, I'll be present, and it'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then I just see how unhelpful that thing
yeah.
is.
Oh, absolutely.
And, like, I mean, everybody has their response to that kind of information,
mm-hmm.
but the guide's response was the most perfect. Oh my God! Yeah! like this real, authentic, hold a minute, get off the phone, what? You know, it's just like, oh, hallelujah!
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you
exactly.
for somebody being out there
yeah.
who can just say what's so in the moment. It doesn't mean death is imminent.
Right.
It means that right now it sucks.
Exactly.
And what I've noticed is that now there haven't been that many moments because there's such a scramble to be fine.
Yes.
But the
yes.
couple of moments where I just said that word out loud to somebody or to people and the emotion, you know, just like they say, 30 to 90 seconds, super strong.
Yeah, yeah.
Super strong, like system shaking.
Mm-hmm.
But the relief, like,
yes.
I mean, for days I felt better.
Oh, yes.
I mean, just because, wow. okay.
Yeah.
The system just needed to release the
yeah.
energy.
Yeah.
That somebody, that ego, you know, is clamping
yes.
down.
Yes, exactly.
So that it can manage.
So that it can manage.
And that's, you know, as some you were just processing with Rebecca, I was thinking that, and that's okay too.
Uh-huh.
You know,
yeah,
it's just
exactly.
what the system's
right.
doing. You know, if
yeah.
there's ever any trying to get other than what's going on.
We're sunk. Yeah.
Because then
yeah.
it just locks down the system more.
Exactly.
Okay, well, there I am, you know, doing what I've always done, not being emotional,
yeah.
clamping down.
Yeah. Okay, come on, let's
come
be emotional,
on,
let's really move through it, let's,
you know, do something, you know,
yeah.
well, wait a minute, why don't I just try bringing compassion to
yeah.
this moment,
exactly,
which
yeah.
has the subcontinent, and in
yeah.
this moment, I was in North Dakota with Claire looking at a college, which is far away, but, you know, okay, what I, you know, kind of when we talk about training, what we're trained to do is be where, you know, where we are, where our feet are.
Exactly.
And so, in one moment, there's some really hard information.
Mm.
Oh my God! You know, the next moment, I'm in North Dakota at some just totally enjoying myself.
Yep. Yep.
And breathing the whatever. And then,
yep.
you know, in the next moment, but there's, ego doesn't allow that.
Exactly.
There I am in North Dakota having this connection with
Yeah.
Oh, but what about the cancer?
Right.
You know, and there I am, you know, being present and kind of service and attending
yeah.
to someone who's ill,
yeah.
or not, I mean, in a lot of ways, I'm just
yeah.
like, you know, and, you know, just the ego's like, well, you know, there's always a doing it wrong.
Yes.
There's always a,
yeah.
well, this is what it would look like if you were present.
Right.
You know, it's never, it's never just okay.
Yeah.
Until it is. You know, and I mean, and I this morning, right before group, you know, I'm walking the dogs and trying to record at the same time, and it's really quiet. It's really quiet, and I noticed.
Yeah.
It's a Sunday morning.
Yeah.
The birds are chirping.
Yeah.
My head is quiet. I don't know why. I can just be grateful.
Yeah.
It's nothing I did.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, the recorder was, you know, to someone, it was not like an enlightened recording.
Yeah.
I wasn't having insights on
yes.
it, believe me.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, all of it, Susan, reminds me of that place we started out with, of just that, the presence. And in that presence, whatever is. And it's allowed to be whatever it is. That there doesn't have to be that managing that ego's constantly doing for us.
So
and that assessment. Because it's
managing
always wrong.
An assessment. And the managing, it's just tightens the system as far as, I mean, it's just brutal.
It is so brutal. Yeah, I was thinking that as you were talking, just everywhere along the way, just that cruelty, that meanness.
It really is. I mean, how is this helpful?
Right.
How is this ever taken in as helpful and right and holy, you know, truly? I mean, because it just can use the language of practice.
Exactly. Ooh, so slimy.
And that's the slimy, yes.
That's all fine. It's okay.
You know, what we're called to do is actually move our attention here rather than here because, you know.
Well, what's here is this.
Right. but it doesn't, it's going to manage it, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to use that language.
Yeah, here.
Here.
Right.
You know, let's move our attention to peace.
Right.
But I don't feel peaceful.
Yes. Yeah.
And it's not meaning broaden the perspective and let peace hold it.
Exactly.
I mean, it doesn't mean that.
Not that kind of peace.
Not that kind of
the
peace.
The kind of peace in the movies.
Right.
Where the
right. Where you're a certain way when you have this information. When
right.
You become this perfect human being that's different than who you are. You know, it's just... But it, for me and my system, practice can really just start...
Yeah.
You know, there I am. I listen to the show.
Yeah.
And, you know, 2 hours later... It'll slice something from the quote.
Oh, yeah.
That's just awful.
Oh, yeah.
To take me out of my experience.
Yes, exactly.
To
so.
Flatline and manage.
Yeah.
I love that manage word because that is what is happening.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Let's manage the energy.
Yes, exactly.
Bring it in.
Yeah.
Tighten it up. Make it appropriate.
Yeah, yeah. And that splicing that it does. You know, I was just looking at that recently also. You know, so you listen to the show and, you know, have whatever you see there. And then 2 hours later, it cuts out a little piece of that. And it glues it onto this thing that it has nothing to do with.
Right.
Right? And same thing with the, you know, when you're in North Dakota, you should be really upset about the cancer.
Right.
But then when you're in the middle of the cancer... Then there should be complete equanimity.
Right.
Right? It's you know, gluing these things together that don't go together, but they seem like they do, right? Because it's all, quote, Zen language.
Right. Right. And it just, it's that hall of mirrors. So kind of for me, that default, for me, is just the breath. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I got nothing. You know, I like that 1, 2, 3.
Right.
You know, all right.
Yeah.
I can't see it.
Exactly.
There's too many opinions.
Yeah.
Uncle.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's got their opinion.
Yeah.
It's all coming at, I mean,
yeah.
parts of me, you know,
mm-hmm.
they're all, yeah. So I'm going to remember that, you know, okay, simple.
Yeah, and just that place of, you know, the one we always go to, but how would I want to be with someone I love who's in this situation? I'm not gonna start assessing them. I'm not gonna start, now you need to, now you should be feeling this way. I'm likely gonna give them all the space in the world to have whatever experience they're having and to the best of my ability to hold them in unconditional love as that unfolds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
That was very helpful. I'm having a hard time being okay with what's here in the present moment. And so I go to my addictions and coping mechanisms.
Mm-hmm.
But not really a whole lot more than I normally do. but I hadn't seen how Sitra Zen is kind of orchestrating things.
Mm-hmm.
The piece of it that, and I can't think of it right now, but there was a piece in there that when I heard it, it was really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll come to me, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. So really seeing that Pseudo Zen has been behind the scenes orchestrating a lot of this, but not really having realized that, and listening to that last conversation, realizing that you're also struggling with being okay with what is in the moment, and that there's that pseudo Zen process in the background, maybe telling me that's not okay.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah, the bottom line, as it so often is, I'm doing this wrong.
Yes.
And there's a sort of a vague, fleeting picture of how it would look if I were doing it right.
Yes. Yeah.
And but with utter, complete understanding that I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to do it that
way. Right.
And I'm going to keep doing it wrong.
Oh, gosh. Wow. I mean, it really is so evil. So evil. That, you know, it's at us all the time, but that it especially comes in when something difficult, when something challenging is in our life, and just capitalizes on it, right? Just that, definitely doing it wrong. This fleeting image of how it would look if you were doing it right, but with full knowledge, quote, that you're not going to do it that way. You're going to keep doing it this way. So that fleeting image is truly only there for torture.
Yeah, yeah. I hadn't seen it until sitting here. So I think I remember, boy, it doesn't want me to. It's acceptance of every moment of it.
Yeah.
Of everything about this person.
Yeah.
Like, one of the things that I get hammered about is I walk down here, for instance, and when I'm walking, I'm afraid of tripping. When I'm moving almost at all, I'm afraid of falling. That's just really wrong. That's just really identified and scared and something.
And at the risk of being repetitive, do you have a sense of, so someone you know, care a lot about in your life, truly walking next to them,
thank you for
their arm in a...
Thank you for listening. Yeah, yeah. And before I left the house, take the recorder and listen as you walk. Well, I was listening to the recorder when I was in the accident. So when I listen to the recorder, that's all I do. When I walk, that's all I do. If I get up from my chair and walk across the floor, that's all I do. And there's just something, I'm being hammered with, that's wrong. That you need to do, that you need to get you've lost your confidence. And there's a degree of, there's something about that that has a ring of truth to it.
Yes. Well, but, yeah. But what? Yeah.
Well, but so what?
Exactly. Well, not even so what, but yeah. Well,
yes,
duh.
Of course. Yes, thank you. Yes, I lost my confidence. No, when I walk, I only want to walk. I want to stare at the ground. And if I'm afraid, I'm afraid. If you've got a problem with that, go somewhere else.
Yes, exactly. Right? I mean, because that's the way you would stand up for your friend who was just in quite a serious accident. A man had all kinds of things, not just on the physical level, but all kinds of things. I mean, I project you'd be standing up for her like crazy.
Staying right next to her.
Right next to her. So she wants to do one thing at a time. Great. What a good way to begin to assist her to build that confidence. You know, it really is just like what Susan was talking about. So this big thing happens. All right, that's huge. We're human beings. That has a tremendous impact on us. Let's start there. You know, we're going to need extra assistance right now. Yes, of course. My confidence is shaken. Yeah.
Because, this is happening. Yes.
Yeah, and you know, it's almost like I just picture sort of a training ourselves, which is what I think Rebecca was talking about. But so I'm not going to use the recorder when I'm walking for now. Great. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to train myself, maybe even before I stand up, I listen to the recording that says, okay, we're going to be with June. And whatever, you know, you want to give her a name or however that works, so that you realize this is my beloved. This is the person that I love who I'm doing this with. So as I'm walking down here, I'm not listening to a recording, but I'm listening to, I love you, June. I'm with you, or whatever the words would be that cue us that whatever experience she's having is perfectly all right, and we're right here with her.
Thank you.
Thank you. Scott.
I was just, everything has been being shared, just thinking how incredibly blessed and lucky we are to be in Sangha with folks who are doing this work. Mm-hmm. Like, every person is just so valuable.
Yeah.
And, you know, where else can you go to get that kind of reflection and support for living the life that you want to live?
Yeah. So true.
And also just watching this thing that happens in groups sometimes where it's like, yes, oh yeah, oh that's good. Mm-hmm. And then wanting to put it together so I have something to articulate.
This goes with this and that and that, look.
Yeah, so I could say something in group that, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like...
that whatever, right. That's never, that blank is never filled
exactly.
in. It's that fleeting, like June was talking about.
Yeah.
And then I'll ride off into the sunset, the best whatever, share ever in group. And
right. That's a funny image. Like you're riding on a horse. What are you all doing on the horse? Right? What's going on?
Yeah. We're in group.
We're in group. Yeah. So, and just noticing that, life's orchestrating already.
Yeah.
So I can just relax.
Yep.
And be with that orchestration.
Yep. And have whatever experience I have with that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what I was noticing is a really wonderful place to live. Mm-hmm. So I drew up, a couple of things. That place that was on the radio show about making that time in the morning, I was seeing that's why I love Sunday morning so much, because I make that time.
Mm-hmm.
Just to sit in stillness in my hermitage, to do recording and listening.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a time schedule,
uh-huh.
which ego hates. It's like, well, this is the one day you get to just sleep in and da-da-da-da-da.
Yeah.
But if I don't do that, I may, you know, it's like pulling a card, and then I record the assignment, but now it's time to go.
Uh-huh.
And I noticed that happened a couple of times.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's interesting. How did I run out of time to actually not do the assignment?
Right.
And so I wake up to a recording in the morning always. That's a welcome to the day, and this is what's important to us, and sometimes silly fun things. And and here's our schedule for this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Because otherwise, all of a sudden, I'm like over in the corner of the hermitage, like putting something together. And it's like, who's doing that?
Who decided to stealing my time?
Yeah, exactly. So now we have to go.
It really is that, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's so subtle to catch on to.
Yeah.
Because, quote, I'm doing that. So what do you mean? But when we're really paying attention, and it goes back to the power of the clarity of intention, when I know what I really want, then when that's not what's happening, I realize, wow, I'm actually not making that choice.
Yeah.
That's literally being stolen from me. Mm-hmm.
Which is interesting, because that word managed was really coming up for me, too.
Yeah.
And seeing... that's what's going on constantly.
Yeah.
Even in the quote, feeling good, we were talking about it on Thursday in the undulation, that it's not an accident.
Yeah.
So, you know, whatever, I kind of hit this low point. Well, that's not working. I don't want to feel bad and certainly not working for ego. It's got to build the energy back up. And so then it's like, oh, you know what we could do? and how about we, oh, and then you could get on that, and then, yeah, and then, oh, this is great, this is great, this is great, build, build, build. Uh-huh. And then what is it that's taking me back?
Yeah.
Taking me back down.
Where does the siphon begin?
Where's the siphon begin? And it's just, that's so fascinating to see how that's not an accident.
Yeah.
Because it can, well, I'm doing practice, and I'm disidentifying, and I'm, but
I'm working well to feed ego.
Yeah. And I mean, just the fascination about that.
Yeah. Which puts us in a completely different relationship with it. Especially, I think, you know, one of the other things we've heard this morning so much is the assessment. Mm-hmm. And so, because what could happen from observing that undulation is, okay, gosh, that's not right. I need to stop doing that. I'm not the right practitioner. But that attitude of curiosity, I project, that you're talking about is what shifts us back from that. There's no right or wrong about it.
Yeah.
There's no, I'm not even doing it.
Yeah.
It's not anything because of me.
Yeah.
And so in that curiosity, that makes it not personal. And then I can just watch what goes on. And in my experience, it's from that awareness that if there's any change to be made, is made. Not from an idea of I'm going to be better, do something better.
Yes.
Right? So in an awareness of your mornings, that's what has you realizing, oh, look at that, I'm over here doing this thing. Not, I shouldn't be over here doing this thing, I should get back to, but rather the awareness that that's happening, I would project, is what has you make the other decision.
Exactly. The process is the outcome, because it was like, whoa, okay, hearing that from the guide, and seeing, I think that's true, based on these two-handed exercises I've been doing. Like, what's happening in between that things are going great, and then how is that being managed? And then I just saw it this morning, so I had that this excellent morning, you know, and I kept the schedule, and I got to do all these wonderful things, and I got to see how I can choose, and I got to see all the things that pull my attention away. How I really want to listen to this amazing recording, you know, of this inspiring person, or I really want to be still, and it's fine that the attention goes over here. Well, that's cool. Okay, but this is what I really want.
Exactly.
And come, you know, and I'm in that conversation with life. I'm on the recorder. I'm listening to all these great things. I come in, the meditate, whoo, energy expansion, and then it starts to talk about that.
Yeah.
Right. That's what it does. I think that's the movement out of it.
Exactly. That's the beginning of that, where the siphon is just quietly getting attached.
Yeah. And it feels fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Whoa, feel the energy on the edge of your skin. Whoa, this is so cool. You know, gosh, you know what would be great?
That's the little click of the siphon.
Yeah, exactly. That's the little click of the siphon. And then
what? And then you can just watch it. You know what would be great? And the human goes, what? Right? Turning their head up to ego. There, gotcha.
Yeah.
Because that's all it needs is your attention in its conversation. It doesn't matter what the conversation is.
Yeah. God, the poor guy. I mean, just whoop. And then I noticed that, but I'm also noticing I don't want to leave here. The energy is draining.
No, take it out.
Which is, I mean, I think that's just ego.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, just going, no. You know?
Putting up its imaginary hand.
Right.
Yeah, because very likely that happens at the point where you realize, wait, I've just turned my attention to it, right? Again.
And then right on top of that insight.
Exactly. Because I project that the awareness of that is going to be enough for you to just go, dink. Just very simple. Just right back here. So how not to do that?
Yeah.
Oh no! Create a different conversation, another drama.
Yeah, well, and what's so important I was seeing too is to just really just keep showing up.
Yeah, exactly.
No matter what, not trying to get anywhere, because to me what's occurring is I'm getting more and more familiar on an intuitive sensing, feeling, however you want to say it, level of what presence feels like.
Yeah.
Because otherwise all that I need to do is come back here. I was aware of that, but then it was like, okay, focus on the breath.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, exactly. It's just more of the same.
Exactly so.
It's
exactly
like, well, that's so. Not presence.
No,
it's it talking about presence. And exactly. Yes, we do put our attention
it's
on the breath.
It's all an idea.
It's all an idea. And then it can, if you stay in that place, it was starting to be like, this is just too hard.
Right.
I mean, here I am, and I can't stop this. And I think I'm being present. I'm doing the thing. Now she's taking over the breathing.
Yeah.
And it. And you.
Well, I've got nothing.
I don't want to give up.
Forget it. You win.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's got the. And I know you know this so well. The beautiful Aikido move there is just the total sense of humor.
Yeah.
Ego won. Okay, yeah. You take it all. I have no idea. I'm out. I can't do any of it. You're right. I can't do any of it. You know, yeah. Just completely agreeing with it. I mean, it's that place that everyone's talking about on some level. It's just total surrender to what's going on. Yeah, I can't make it happen. That is the God's truth. I cannot make it happen.
And the beauty of just staying as much as I possibly could in that larger awareness is to see, I just trust that I will be done. That glory of God is being revealed. Yeah. Everything. Okay. There's nothing outside of that.
Right.
I'm being trained.
Yep.
And when I can see that, this is all training. This isn't, I should be able to stay in complete bliss all the time.
Yeah.
It's all, I mean, I'm being trained in undulations.
Yes.
That is not an accident. It's not even ego wins.
Right.
That's the
right. That's its assessment.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's its language.
So it's so fun because you just like last night, like going out a little bit late out of my hermitage and looking up at the stars, and it's like, okay, I surrender.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that light I'm looking at, that little sparkle in the sky, that star is likely dead.
Right.
And it's has taking
been for a long time.
A million, how many light years to get here?
Yeah.
For me, and you know, how the generations of humans who have looked up at the same sky, I mean, you just get into that place of, I surrender.
Yeah,
I mean, that will be done.
Exactly. That's where it really becomes ridiculous for me to be making minute decisions about how, no.
Yeah, and so back to that thing of how lucky I feel to, it's like practice and Sangha just assist me to keep that aperture open.
Yeah.
Because the training is to close it, to close it over. And I'm learning to not only expand the awareness and keep that aperture, I mean, I'm learning to keep it open and notice it when it closes and then open it, and then it closes and open it.
Yeah.
And this image is coming of Sherry talking about at one point in her practice, she was walking around and was like, oh, I was in a conversation. Like, you know, because my experience is I'm walking around, I'm like, wow, I'm in presence.
Uh-huh.
You know, like I'm mostly in a conversation.
Gotcha.
And then there's like, whoa, bing, you know?
Yeah.
But that it's possible. I can see that that's possible.
Uh-huh.
That the default is here.
There's presence.
And it has to be. If the attention can be trained that in such detail to the voices, well, then of course it can be trained so, in such detail to being present.
Yeah.
And then you'll be walking around in presence and go, oh, it was in a conversation.
Yeah, that was so unusual.
Yeah, and I don't know, maybe it'll happen in this life and maybe it won't, but there's a feeling of that's completely possible and maybe inevitable.
Yeah, right. And that we can just allow that process
exactly.
to happen.
Exactly, yeah.
That's good, thank you. Cameron.
Oh, I was just making a show.
We have 2 minutes if you had something.
Oh, well, this has been a great group, and I could relate, as usual, to everything everybody has said.
Yeah.
And, I have a little something, but I'm not sure about it yet. So, I've been using something that we were given, some questions that we were given, and running things in my life against those questions, as opposed to going to
running the questions in conditioned mind. giving a practice framework for when things come up.
Yeah, if something comes up and I feel a lack of clarity, I had something that I had to kind of report on, that I felt very confused and uncomfortable with. Mm-hmm. Things didn't go the way I thought they were going to go, mm-hmm. and I didn't know what to do about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to report about it. Uh-huh. And so in doing so, I ran things by these four questions,
uh-huh.
as opposed to thinking,
yes.
you know, turning it over to conditioning,
yeah.
to assess what happened.
Exactly. Yeah.
What? And, you know, I could just see right from the beginning, each question, you know, failed uh-huh. the litmus test.
Nope.
And what I got to was, gosh, I should have asked for guidance way back some time ago.
Uh-huh.
And it was just so clear.
Uh-huh.
And yet I was going by what I was told was going to happen. And
yes.
I kept thinking, oh, any minute now it will.
Sort of similar to what we were looking at with Rebecca, that kind of sense, like kind of going to, I know how it's going to go. And
well,
so
it was laid out a certain way.
Okay.
It wasn't just made up in the mind. It mm-hmm. was laid out, and there was something that was supposed to happen at a certain time,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't.
Uh-huh.
And so I kept thinking, well, it's going to any minute.
Uh-huh.
You know,
any minute now. The way it's supposed to happen, it's going to happen.
And so anyway, I found that really this questions would seem to apply to anything.
Mm. Yes. Yes.
And so I thought, as I was going through that and I found it so helpful, I thought, well, gosh, whenever I'm debating something or something's not clear, and you know, especially, I mean, I have to think about asking for guidance too, but to go through this first.
Yes.
Because now I got pretty clear that it wasn't just the other party who didn't keep their commitments.
Mm-hmm.
I did. I saw that I could have and probably should have, even though we don't use that word,
mm-hmm.
Asked for guidance
yeah.
at the point at which it kind of deviated from the plan yeah. that was agreed upon.
Yeah. And if we look at it through the lens of what we've been talking about this morning, that moment that you have that realization, great. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
That there's a perfection to
yes.
all of it.
Yes.
Right? And I feel like the meta principle that you're talking about is that, you know, for a lot of us, there's our lives and then there's practice.
Yeah.
Right? And practice is sort of the side thing we do, and potential, you know, here and there we apply it to life. But we could reverse that, and that everything that happens in our lives truly is, as we say in the recitation, an opportunity to see how suffering is caused. So we can, instead of just immediately like looking at the circumstances and how to figuring
exactly.
this out, we can, quote, run it through, if you will, practice. You
well,
know,
that's what I got.
Listening
if we are in the process of working on ending suffering, we can't just do it when we're doing practice activities.
Oh, right.
It goes through the whole life.
Yeah. Truly.
And so these practice questions can just be applied.
That's right.
Across the board is what I got to, and I just thought, wow. Now that's kind of, because I know Sherry was talking recently about we need to get to the point where we know the difference. I think somebody was just talking about knowing the difference between being centered and being, you know, and but she said until we get there. I forget what she said until we get there. But, you know, until we get there, we don't know. It's hard to tell.
It's hard to tell.
So
yeah.
So here's a helpful thing is this run it by these things.
Yeah.
And then if still there's confusion, then maybe raise a hand for
exactly.
guidance.
Exactly. Yeah, there's all kinds of structures for assistance with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's so fun to be getting to the point where there isn't that feeling bad and this, I'm really going to be in trouble for reporting that I didn't do this.
Right.
And now I see I should have.
Mm-hmm.
There's just like,
oh, thank you.
I'm glad I saw it
exactly.
at some point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
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 Very good. Thank you. Thank you all.
Gratitude.
Yes, indeed.